the Mod Hop Podcast, traveling better with ModHop.com founder Jake Redman and travel junkie Anthony Ryan.
What did you ask me?
I'm asking you, did you know that China extended their New Year's celebrations?
Does that mean my in-laws are going to come over again with more food?
Oh, I'm surprised they left.
We had the best Chinese New Year celebration. The food was insane. It was so good. We had duck. I mean, it's all the stuff that we normally have, like duck and chicken. And they made this really good thing with cauliflower and like pork, I think. It was so good. Everything
really?
Was so good. There's a lot of meat.
Why didn't you invite me?
I didn't know it was going to be that good.
Like, really?
Their food is usually off the charts good. This was like next level. I think what they went and got, like, I think they went out and bought some gourmet stuff in Chinatown, and then they brought back some of that, and then made a few of their own dishes and sort of mixed it all together to make this absolutely perfect New Year's celebration.
It's amazing.
It was amazing. I want to eat again.
Do your kids have an appetite for that, for the cuisine?
They like Chinese food way better than most of the American food, any Western food that we give them.
Really?
Like, we can give them, like, it's like, I don't even know what they call it. It's like a tofu thing that my mother-in-law brings over. They love that. My daughter will sit there and gnaw on a chicken feet.
Chicken feet.
A chicken foot. Or she'll gnaw on chicken feet and, you know, sort of take her time with chicken nuggets. It's weird.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's...
Not to say that she doesn't appreciate a good chicken nugget, but, I mean, she... They seem to really gravitate towards Chinese food.
I think that's great that they've been exposed so young and to not just Chinese food, but to the Western foods that you mentioned as well, so they sort of have a wider sense in their palate.
Yeah, it's great. Well, it's great. And it's just sort of happened that way. I don't know what the next couple of years, you know, maybe they'll see their friends or they'll tell their friends they eat chicken feet, and their friends will be like, gross.
Ah, well, hopefully not.
You know, because, you know, friends influence kids.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
You know, but for now, they love Chinese food. They love it.
That's great.
And the authentic stuff, too, not the...
The real deal.
Yeah.
Not the general.
Not the sesame chicken.
Yeah. But yeah, they extended it so that in hopes that the people that went to their hometowns to celebrate would stay there longer while they figure out what's going on.
Oh, with the coronavirus.
Yeah,
yeah, of course. That segues nicely into the top story because the fallout caused by the super scary coronavirus is getting really real. Both American and Delta have suspended all service to mainland China for now. United has whittled their China service down to 4 flights daily. That's down from 12. So that's a lot. It's a big cut. They were the first to cut flights, saying decreased demand is what's causing the pullback, which I think may have influenced the other airlines too. But unions have been putting pressure on U.S. carriers to pull back or out. The pilots' union, in fact, is telling its members to decline assignments to China, citing unacceptable risk. This is according to USA Today. Delta starts their pullout on February 6th, and that runs through April 30th as of now. American is immediate through March 28th. So it's, I guess, Delta is giving people some time to get out.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea in the scheme of things. I feel like it's all the what everyone's doing is pretty unprecedented, closing down airports and, you know.
Yeah, and we were talking about it earlier. I don't recall such a massive airline pullout of a region.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty wild.
It's actually not like anybody pulled back for Zika.
You're right.
And that was a big scare around the time my wife was pregnant with our second kid. So
I mean, that was, remember the World Cup was there?
Yeah, or, oh yeah, that's
or
right.
Something.
That was
yeah.
going on at the same time, I think. And then, you know, bird flu, the worst thing we saw was more hand sanitizer canisters yeah. placed throughout the building.
Now, you see, if the Olympics was going on in China at this time, maybe it'd be a different story. No, I'm kidding. They would probably cancel all that stuff. In
yeah,
my
who knows?
Opinion, I feel like people are smarter now. They're more willing to say, all right, we're going to stop these events, you know, potentially hurting our earnings for the better of the world.
Mankind?
Yeah.
Like, okay, we shouldn't start a massive plague for some sporting events.
Yeah, I know, right?
For the javelin.
We're smarter than we were 4 years ago.
Well, yeah, I don't know. But, you know, who knows what's going to happen with the Olympics coming up in Tokyo, too. It's not like it's a stretch of the imagination with the way this thing is spreading that it couldn't, you know, start to penetrate more of Asia.
That's a good point, yeah.
So, who knows? In slightly brighter news, it depends on your opinion about this, a good write-up on Flyer Talk. Apparently, the FAA is looking to further restrict what kind of emotional support animal you can bring on board a flight. Their current definition is any animal that is individually trained or able to provide assistance to a person with a disability or, I'm paraphrasing, by providing emotional support. You may have heard on the podcast, this podcast, stories of emotional support peacocks and miniature horses. The miniature horse one was kind of cute.
It was, actually.
And I was actually surprised to learn that you could get a miniature horse onto a regional jet. It was surprising. And looking at the pictures, like, you wouldn't expect it to fit as well as it did. But
I don't know why they would let that in and not my emotional support Komodo dragon.
Your Komodo dragon, is it Komodo? It's Komodo. I called it a Komodo dragon, which would be a full-size dragon dressed in a kimono.
Okay. I see that.
But a really relaxed dragon. Anyway, none of those would be allowed on airlines, as they would be forced to adopt new regulations if approved. The proposed new rules state service animals should be limited to a dog that is individually trained to work or perform tasks to the benefit of a person with a disability. The agency is taking comments on the proposed rules until later in February. I'll put a link on the podcast page at modhop.com.
Fantastic.
I don't know that I've seen anything too unusual. I think I've only seen emotional support dogs on flights.
No, in fact, I don't think I've ever really seen an emotional support animal outside of a
I have had friends who have seen emotional support pigs.
No way, really?
Yeah.
Like the small ones?
I'm not sure, honestly. But pigs are becoming more of a household pet these days, at least.
They are pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know that I'd want one in my house, but
they're much cleaner than you think.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they're hairless for the most part, aren't they? I mean, they've got fuzz, but they're not hairy like a cat or a dog.
Yeah, and I don't know if they shed or what, but they obviously they don't have as much hair.
That's all right. Well, if you're an expert on household pigs, let us know how easy they are to care for.
I want one now.
Are they like a hairless cat? I don't know.
I don't know. Hairless cats are kind of scary looking, but
and why do people
say it wouldn't happen?
I know a lot of people. Well, I guess the answer is it's hot there, but most people I've known who live in, say, Arizona or desert areas have hairless cats.
Yeah, well, the reason some people get them, and in my case, I am allergic to cats.
I too am allergic to cats,
dander, and dogs as well. So apparently, a hairless cat would solve some of those issues potentially.
Do you have to shave hairless cats, or do they just come like that?
Oh, I don't know.
Dip them in Nair.
I don't know if that's advised.
Is that cruel?
Nair burns.
Does it
not
really?
That I know.
You seem to know pretty well. You said that with some sort of authority.
So have people told me.
Oh, right. Let's get to our guest is waiting outside, so we'll talk to him about Nair. And I'm going to talk to him. I have a trip coming up to Fort Lauderdale. Actually, I just found out that I'm going to be in Fort Lauderdale twice in like a month's time.
Fun.
So I decided that would be the place to bring my family for a vacation. It's close to a beach. I can find things for the kids to do. It's not really a kid's destination by definition, but it's a spot. And then I'm going back for the Rolling Loud Festival again this year
for work
because I love hip-hop.
Oh, yeah.
And no, I'm going down with the Heat Crew who from here at SiriusXM, and we had such a good experience down there. I don't know. We just had a good time down there.
Yeah, you drive the van around.
I'm the van guy.
That's what you do.
Yeah. If you're looking for a not-so-overrun selfie spot for your IG or just want to get way, way, way far away from people, our guest should be of some interest. Tom Marchant from upscale next-level travel site Black Tomato is here to talk about where to visit next. Next.
The Mod Hop Podcast with Jake Redman and Anthony Ryan.
Last time we had a guest.
Oh man, it's been a few episodes, I have to say.
It's probably been a good handful, but
so long that I don't remember.
Well, it's good. We have to break it up a little bit because we're tired of hearing our own voices. I am, at least.
Yeah, I love hearing your voice. So.
Tom Marchant is the co-creator and of the travel service Black Tomato that creates next level trips for its users. Is that apt? Does that make sense? Am I saying that right, or how would you describe it?
Yeah, I've spent about 13 years trying to describe it as succinctly as that, so I think you've nailed it. Yeah, no, we create truly unique, mind-blowing, once-in-a-lifetime travel experiences. So next level, I think, sums it up pretty well.
And we've talked about this in recent episodes, about a few places that have been overrun with tourists looking for that perfect Instagram moment. For wannabe influencers, where can we go now to get that unique selfie at this point? Does it exist?
No, sorry, it they do exist. I've got to be candid. Sometimes for me, it feels like anathema to be saying, go there for the selfie, because I'm always about going a bit deeper. But I do understand that when you travel, you know, you want to capture those moments. And let's be frank, sometimes you travel because you want to impress people and you take those pictures, so I get it. I think a personal favourite of mine, which I still think is relatively undiscovered, and it certainly is remote and you won't see really anyone else out there, is Namibia, specifically the Skeleton Coast area, which... When you go there, and I've been lucky to travel there a lot, it really, the landscape on the Skeleton Coast is desolate, but it resembles what I'd say is almost like the surface of Mars. Having never been to Mars, I really don't know whether it's surface.
If we wanted to fake a Mars landing.
But a fake Mars landing would work in Namibia. But, really? But basically, it's this beautiful but remote, wild, raw environment where you are just marveling the whole time at what you see in front of you, and there's nothing there in terms of other people. And the stat might not be quite right, but it is one of the most remote, if you stand there as a human, it is one of the most remote parts on the planet until you find another kind of human settlement there. And it's got great stories. There's a lot of game there, but they're really wild. You know, you won't see a lot of it, but when you do, it's genuine in its element. And you got crazy things like these deserts, so these elephants that have adapted to desert conditions. So when they move around the desert, they actually surf down the dunes on their knees. You know, it's a really rare phenomenon. It's rarely been captured, but it's been captured a couple of times. So you're in this place that feels otherplanetary. Yeah. And so, yeah, if you want to take a selfie and not see anyone else, yeah, exactly. See something that's going to be, you know, viral by visual.
And how do you travel there?
Yeah, you fly basically. Yeah, the capital of Namibia is Windhoek. And you can fly there from major cities, you know, from the US and Europe. And often you'll route via Johannesburg and you'll connect there. But then you're down there and it's a special country. It really is. And it comes in cycles. You know, it wasn't that well known. I think then... Forgive me, I probably got it wrong, but I think Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie went there or something years ago. So everyone was talking about Namibia, then it kind of faded away. It's always been a favourite of mine. And if you want remote, kind of proper connectivity with this planet, go
to
Namibia.
Yeah. You had a question about the company, right?
Yeah, so you started with a couple of friends, Black Tomato, mm-hmm. way back in the mid-2000s, right?
Yeah.
So as the social media has become huge with traveling, how has Black Tomato changed with that, the traveler's habits?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I mean, I think social media, you know, is a benefit, frankly, for us in terms of the business we provide and we offer, simply because it's, you know, there's constant inspiration out there, there's constant fuel to want people, you know, to make people want to travel. But also in amongst that kind of melee of messaging and imagery out there, it can also be quite overwhelming for people, you know. So you want to go to places, but you know, there's a million people telling you how to do it and do it a particular way. And actually, what people are looking for is kind of an expert or a kind of port in the storm, if you like, of all that messaging and stuff going out there. And that's where we step in. So what we like to do is kind of harness the inspiration and what people are talking about, and then say, look, work with us, because we're experts. You know, all of our team have either lived in these places or go back there the whole time. We know how to curate the perfect way to experience a place, you know, hassle-free, giving the inside track, making sure you're not doing everything that everyone else is doing, because people like to do things that feel unique, and basically be your best friend, you know, in that place.
So you're sort of the shadow in the vacation.
Absolutely.
You know, you can be seen or not seen.
That's it.
As
yeah.
much as the traveler wants.
Totally. You know, the whole service we offer is bespoke. So the very essence is, you know, how do you want to do this? Now, some people will say, look, well, tell me how I should do this. Other people might be, well, I just need you to put me there and give me some guidance, or be there available 24/7 on the phone or to chat to kind of tell me what to do. But shadow is a great analogy. This best friend is, yeah, spot on.
If I'm in Namibia, and I get out there, and I'm like, ah, oh, it's too hot. Can I call you and be? And yeah. Can I get a hold of you and be like, get me out of here? Can you find me a hotel?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And in the short answer, and look, that's the point. Now, look, I haven't done my job properly if that happens, but it does happen, you know, because sometimes, you know, one person's belief in terms of what is hot or cold or what is challenging, if like from fitness, is varied. So our point is, we are there to kind of give you the best experience. But if you want to change it anytime because it's not what you want, or maybe you've heard of something else when you're out there, you call us and we sort it in a heartbeat. So okay. we are there constantly throughout.
Yeah. Have you ever gotten that where somebody just dove in too deep and wasn't ready for the vacation?
I mean,
because you know, I think that people lie to themselves and they say like, oh, I'm ready to go all in.
Well, that's it. Yeah. I mean, we definitely. I mean, you have to in this business. You know, honesty and candor are the bywords, because there's no point someone like, I don't know, having a conversation with one of my experts, say they're talking about climbing a mountain, and someone saying, well, are you fit? And they're like, oh, yeah, really fit. You know, I work out the whole time. And, you know, I love it. You know, give me a challenge. But they kind of deny themselves, but they think it'll be pretty cool to go and summit a mountain. And then they're, you know, 2 days into a climb, dying, but struggling and saying, this isn't what I wanted. So our job all the way through is to be honest and make sure you get the perfect experience. But yeah, has it happened where someone's been in a place where it's not quite what they wanted, or they've overextended themselves, or they've got, you know, a different version of it? Yeah. But then we step in and we make sure we sort it.
I mean, all that said, Black Tomato appears to give users a lot of control and whittling down to the finest points of their travel preferences or even their stamina, really. I mean, you seem to give a lot of control over what the original request is, and budget, of course. Are there any specific requests that are surprising to you at this point? Has there been anything weird that anyone's asked for on the way?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, one day you'll write the book about the weird requests that have come in. Yeah, look, I mean, ultimately, you're dealing with human beings who have their particular quirks and needs and wants, and they manifest themselves in a myriad of ways when you travel. And I think sometimes travel shines a greater spotlight on things that matter or perhaps don't matter when you're at home. So yeah, we get all sorts of strange requests, and you know, some are about, you know, when they, you know, someone might want to kind of have a bathtub set up on the edge of a cliff so they can have a morning soak as the sun comes up. Someone might want to have an ice bar built into an ice cave on a glacier where they can have a party after a hard day's hiking. Others might want to take their beloved pets everywhere.
Some just want the party.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, I have to say that was a fun one to plan. But yeah, I mean, it's weird, it's wonderful, but I have to say, you know, I often think I can't be surprised again by some of the requests. But but it seems that every week I still get surprised.
It seems to me that you're really providing these unique travel experiences. How much is it your responsibility to make sure that they get these culturally connected experiences, to make sure they're not just seeing just through a traveler's eye, but really seeing how the people live and what they eat and what they do culturally?
I mean, it's a great question. Ultimately, we are a bespoke service. So, you know, providing it's kind of the types of places we go or the product we work with, you can do what you want. If someone wants to go, you know, and lie on an island, a desert island, you know, and do nothing for a week, we'll do that. Personally, my kind of travel that I love doing is this culturally connected type of travel, because I think when you're connecting with other cultures, that's what opens your mind, that's what improves your understanding of the world. And I think just traveling to do that makes the world a better place. So look, in terms of the kind of the ideas for trips we come up with, that cultural connectivity is a key influence of that. And then how we do that is we have just incredible networks of fixers, of people who embody that. And we encourage our clients to get out there and you know, get under the skin of a place and really learn about it. Because I certainly know from trips in a previous life, you know, I'd get back, you're rushing around somewhere and you really hadn't stopped to connect. You get back, you're then staring down the barrel of another 6 month slog at work, and someone says, oh, did you go there or meet that person? And you probably lie and go, yeah, no, I did. But deep down, you know, you didn't. And so, yeah, that cultural connectivity is what really fires the soul, in my view, and right. And is really sort of at the heart of what Black Tomato stands for.
Has your traveling changed since you started? Like, obviously, you've traveled a lot, and even before Black Tomato. So your goals and your influences way back when, how have those changed?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm just a very curious person, so I always want to get out and see new places and have new experiences. So in terms of my passion for doing that hasn't changed. I think there have been certain life developments that have changed. You know, I have a family now, and so, you know, when I travel with my wife and my daughter, I kind of am looking at things with a slightly different lens than just, you know, sticking a backpack on or just going somewhere and, you know, just seeing what you find. But I think the view in terms of this world is an amazing place, and even though it's been fully discovered, you can still keep exploring it, and every year there are new things to see and old things to revisit that might have changed. And so honestly, it's why myself and my two partners started this company. We were lucky to grow up in families that traveled a lot. We just love it, and as well as wanting to build a business, because we are sort of entrepreneurial in our outlook, we also wanted to find a way that we could keep traveling and exploring, for being totally honest. And what better way to do it than start a travel company that has to go and research places, has to share these places with people. And we don't get to do it as much as we used to, because it was three of us, now there's like 100 people that work at the company, and right. We get to see our staff traveling, but we still get out on the road and go and find the, you know, the brilliant experiences.
That's why we started a podcast about travelers, so we could travel. It's almost like we have to force ourselves
we could interview people who travel.
It's basically we're living vicariously through
I was about to say, I often like live vicariously through my teams, you know, so you'll see people coming back and you're like, wow, that's an amazing trip. And then
is there any place that your team members have been that you haven't been?
Yeah, no, there are. Kind of annoying, actually. I was like, hang on, that's not why we started. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's parts of the world that I still really want to get into. Like, I've never done Mongolia properly. Right. I've taken a train across the top of it when I lived in Russia for a while. But, you know, that Mongolian steppe and getting out into the great expanses, you know, the stories that come back from those trips.
Have you been to Fort Lauderdale?
Yeah, well, that was my next one, actually. No, sadly not, but that's on the list.
That's where I'm taking the family in a month or two. It's the only place we could find that you got four kids. Well, you've got kids, don't you?
Yeah, I've got a daughter, but it just, right. We see, actually, changing nature of the business. As we've grown up and had families, you know, we're doing a lot of family travel as well now, but suddenly it's that different lens and finding places that, you know, my partner's both got a few kids.
Right.
And a number of people that work for us have it as well.
It definitely changes the way you travel,
I think. It does.
And that's why I asked. I was wondering how it's affected you. And how old is your daughter?
My daughter's 18 months.
Oh, okay.
So she's still. So we're sort of, like, we're getting a Morocco at the end of this month, so we can still kind of...
With the baby.
Wow. Yeah. And that would be cool. And, like, when we had her, she was born in Los Angeles. And so she did a lot of flying between LA and New York and London. Yes, but I think this Morocco trip, it's only 3.5 hours from London, but I think this is going to be the true test, because she's at that age now where she's mobile, she's very loud. And so I think my wife and I are like, okay, well, this is going to be the true measure. Yeah, because I always did sympathize with parents on planes, because I think anyone who is there tutting about children, I think, come on. But
once you have them, it's almost more inspiration. Like, good for them. They're bringing their kids somewhere.
That's it. I think it's great.
You think a little bit differently once you have them.
Well, I was going to ask, so you've been in this business for a while now, and you've seen the trends change throughout the years. What do you see as the next big shift? What do you think is, like, right around the horizon?
A little bit to some of the stuff we were talking about earlier about, you know, people charging around to certain places, grabbing these ephemeral moments and selfies and stuff. We're seeing a big thing where people are starting to build relationships with a certain place and go back and not like having a vacation home, but actually becoming part of that community and really developing, like, ties to a place and giving back to a place. Because there's one thing that we often travel and we take away from that in terms of inspiration and bring it back home, which is great, but going out and becoming part of communities, so we're calling it, like, doubling down. So you can do that, you know, the people doing it with communities in northern India, out in Sri Lanka, you know, it might be tiny Italian towns, seeing that. And then a big thing this year is this pursuit of purity. So looking for experiences that really celebrate, like, the purity of, you know, fresh air, or, you know, unpolluted skies, or, you know, places which are genuinely quiet. You know, I'm not sure if you read about this phenomenon, the national parks of quiet.
Right.
So there's a really interesting group who are trying to get certain areas in the world designated quiet parks. And the first one is on the Zabola River in Ecuador. And it's been officially designated. And so there's no man-made or white noise there. So the only noise you'll hear will be the birds or the wind. And people are looking for genuinely, like, pure experiences as a reaction to these kind of crazy cities we live in. And that's always been a bit of a kind of, I want to escape and have a bit of a detox. But this real focus on, can we find still these really pure elemental experiences around the world? And that's going to be more and more popular for sure.
Where do the noises from your white noise machine come from?
Well, I know. This is the only thing. I was like, I couldn't take Minnie, my daughter, there, because I'd be there all night, like...
I feel like I've been there.
I was going to ask, does that apply culturally from one country to another, that wanting to get away and unplug? I mean, in America, I could definitely see that as something that people want to do, because they want to get away from the news and everything that's going on in this country.
Yeah, you talk about quiet places, and if you live here, you're like, that exists? So.
Yeah, but, like, does that apply in Europe or in Asia?
No, it does. I mean, I think if you live in any, which I think the majority of our customers, if you live in any kind of urban conurbation, that kind of the melee of the day-to-day is it sort of just permeates you, sort of gets into your bones. So when you start looking for something to kind of react against that, these trips, which are a genuine, like, different type of, like, experience appeal. And so, yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you know, evident obviously in the US, but Europe very much so as well. So we're seeing that. And then it's just, yeah, looking for the places that fit that. But it's not, there's one thing where people talk about, like, this digital detox, you know, I'm going to go and I'm going to turn my phone off and et cetera. And yeah, that happens, but it's more about being out in the elements, and whether, you know, down in Namibia, I was talking about earlier, you can read by starlight. you know, not by the moonlight, then that's a given. But I've been lying on the top of a little lodge, reading a book by the light of the stars. And that's kind of, yeah, imagine doing that. No, you don't.
Trying to explain to my daughter the other day when she was looking at the one star you can see from New York City that there are more of them.
Yeah, I promise.
She's never taken her out to, I've never taken her out to a farm or any place where you can actually see the sky.
So. Yeah, it's wild. And I think the travel industry has coined that terms of astrotourism, if you like.
What a cool name.
Yeah, the travel industry, yeah, we love a phrase or a tag for a new trend. But yeah, it's brilliant. It's amazing. And Mongolia as well, you know, where your shadow is basically cast by starlight.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's pretty amazing.
Well, these are exciting times for travel. BlackTomato.com. Tom Marchant, thank you so much for coming by and talking to us a little bit about travel. If you're looking for him on Instagram, @BlackTomatoTravel.com. Or no, there's no .com in Instagram. @BlackTomatoTravel.com.
Stop.
The Mod Hop Podcast with Jake Redman and Anthony Ryan.